Right, we'll start at the top of Chof Chavim Rav, New Perek, Cheskat Obatim. The Gemara is going to discuss how one establishes a Chazokah. Now, the Gemara is going to come to this later, today's daf, is going to discuss it again. But this is different than some of the Chazokot that we saw on the first two Prakim. Because the first two Prakim, the Chazokot there, is where you are doing something that's detrimental to your friend. And by doing something that's detrimental, if you can continue to do it, and the person does not object, then you gain an easement, right, to continue to act in that manner. As opposed to over here, the action that you're taking is not necessarily detrimental to your friend. What you're trying to do is replace the equivalent, and we'll see this is the Gemara, of what a contract would do. If I have a document or documentation of a sale, so instead of having documentation of the sale, instead I'll have a chazaka that replaces that documentation. So that takes time, number one, and it has to come with what we call a taina. It has to have some sort of claim. You have to have a valid claim to be there in order to have documentation that you actually belong or have the right to be there. So you wouldn't bring a contract that says you bought a property if you never bought the property. So too, you can't bring a chazaka without, or use a chazaka to prove that you own the property unless you really have a taina that you actually bought the property. Now we saw that Tosfos in the earlier parak said, Meitzar HaRabim. For instance, when a Rabim goes and makes a pathway, a shortcut through the property, that they have to do it at first with permission. That there is no such thing as, in today modern law, it's called adverse possession, where you can take possession of an item if you use it, right, and there's no objection, even though you necessarily were there with rights in the first place. It also still requires you to have some sort of right to be there, but not that you acquired or have a taina, except for that I did it originally, and now you have no right to take it back. So now the Gemara is going to discuss how can you establish, or how do you establish these chazakot? Chazkat abatim, habarot, v'ashichim, v'amearot, v'ashochvot, v'merchatzaot, u'beit abadim, beit ashlachim, v'avadim. So all of these items, you have houses, right, cisterns, or different types of pits, shochvot, right, the shochvot, which we've seen in the last parak, right, the shovach, which are the dovecotes, merchatzaot, bathhouses, u'beit abadim, these are the olive presses, right, u'beit ashlachim. Beit HaShlachim is a field that is self-sustained water-wise, means it has a mayan, it has some sort of spring in the field, and therefore it's a continuously productive field because it has a source of water. Vavadim, and servants, v'chol shu'oseh peirot tadir. That's the qualification here, something that is continuously productive. If it's continuously productive, then when you use it and the other individual doesn't object, then that creates a chazaka over here. So now, Shloshanim, miyom liyom. You need 3 years, day to day. We don't say like yom echad b'shana or mikzas kekulo. You need full 3 years to establish such a chazaka.
3 years straight.
Right. Right. At least they're going to Tabakama. Now we're going to see otherwise. All right. Thank you. Stay abal. So stay abal as opposed to stay ashlachim, which is, it gets its source from rain rather than a self-contained source of water, mayan, which produces all year round. The rain you can only get during the rainy season. So it's also productive on a, right, not every part of the year, but in unique part, or not or unique, or the specific parts when it's the rainy season. So it's day abal, chazkadash, lo shanim, veinim yom liyom. It's not, right, day to day, but it's over 3 years. 3 years means that you have to go through three harvests, or what would be the equivalent of three usages of that field. So now, Rabbi Shmo Omer, Gimel Chodeshim Berishona, what does that mean? You do three in the first year. Gimel Achrona, three in the last year. V'shneimasach Chodesh Be'emtza, and the 12 months in the middle, Arei Yudchet Chodesh, you need 18 months in total. Now, the way Rashi describes this layout of Rabbi Shmo, it is that you actually can plant. You can create a harvest in these areas. The last you have 3 months at the end of the first year, he plants early before Tishrei, and he's able to grow items and then get a harvest out of that. Then in the second year, he gets a full harvest, and then to the third year, right, he's able to plant early in the third year, and then to the 3 months and harvest again. So he's able to collect these three harvests within that period of 18 months, and that'll be a chazakah in this case. Rabbi Kivomer, chodesh berishona, v'chodesh b'achrona, v'yud bet chodesh be'emtza. That it's not, you don't need 3 months, and then a year in the middle. It's enough to have the year in the middle plus a month on each end. The way Tosfos explains the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is how significant an item or usage do you need in order to qualify as a chazaka? Is it enough that you planted in that time period? Right, that you actually, like, for instance, the first month of Tishrei, if you planted, then is that enough to establish a chazakah that you're going to grow the fruits and you're going to take them? Or, right, Rabbi Shmuel, no, you have to have planted the fruits, plus they have to have reached a certain level of maturity, which indicates, right, that you're really going to keep everything that's there. So Rabbi Shmuel wants something more significant in order to establish a chazakah. Rabbi Kiva says sufficient if you just plant it there 1 month is enough. Now, Harei Yudalad Chodesh, it's 14 months. Am Rabbi Shmuel, Bemed Vermamurim, this is all true, Bistei Lavan. This is all true in Estei Lavan. Lavan comes from, right, the white. White because the fields and grains and so on that have that are grown in such fields, when they dry out at the end of the season, it all looks white over the fields. It's called Estei Lavan. These are grains and fruits, as Rashi said, that are collected at one period of the year, meaning that there's only one harvest for this during the year, and therefore you would require 3 years to get to the three harvests. But that's not true. Estei Lavan. Estei Lavan, when it comes to trees and orchards, so the kaneset tvuato here is not tvuato in green sense, because we just said lavan, stay lavan is a different din. So tvuato here means tvuata kerem, means the vineyard. So he brings in the grapes from the vineyard, he takes down he takes his olives, picks his olives, and then he brings in the dried, right, figs from the field. So meaning that you could have multiple fruits and create three harvests over a single year. I mean, if you go through the seasons of the year, you're able to generate a chazakah of three harvests without actually going over a period of 3 years, because you can deal with different fruits or different production times, which are the grapes, the olives, and the figs.
But it's the same piece of land.
Right, right.
The same piece of land
that is producing multiple, right, outputs or production.
So according to that, who does that go? I mean, Rabbi Shmuel himself said 18 months, so why?
Right, that's correct. So we'll see that. We'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara is actually going to discuss that in Rabbi Shmuel. It depends. Rabbi Shmuel said that depends. That's b'stei alavan, right? That his statement of 18 months is qualified by stei alavan. That's stei abal. That is a stei alavan, right? That is not true of a stei ilan. And we're going to see that Rabbi Shmuel and the Gemara is going to give me 3 months. You could have a chazaka in 3 months according to Rabbi Shmuel if you get three harvests in 3 months. All right now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shemati mehochei usha sheomrim. So I heard from those that are by Usha. Usha, right, is the second generation of Tanaim. The first generation of Tanaim are in Yavne, right? And the second generation of Tanaim, they moved from Yavne, they moved to Usha. So you have a second generation there. So I heard from Hochei Usha that where do we know that Chazakah is 3 years? Where did this idea that Chazakah is 3 years? It's very nice. I mean, that we took it as a given, that 3 years is a Chazakah. But what's the source of that? They say Mishor Mu'ad. Comes from Shur Mu'ad. Why? My Shur Mu'ad, Kevin Shinagach, Gimel Nekichot. Once a Shur Mu'ad has gored 3 times, Nofak Le Mechezkat Tam, he's left, right, the status of being a Tam, become Le Mechezkat Mu'ad. And now he's changed over to being a Mu'ad, to being a wild ox, and he'll have to pay Nezek Shalem instead of Chatzi Nezek. So just like there where it's 3 times, Achanavi. Came to Achla Tlachnin. Here too, if he eats the production of the field over 3 years, nafak la mishut mocher, v'kaima la mishut lukeach, it'll leave the possession of the seller, and it'll move into the possession of the buyer. So now the Gemara is going to, after this, ask a number of questions about situations, about Shor Mu'ad, that if you really take the connection between them so literally, then you should have or come to some conclusions about Chazakah by Esadeh. The first one is, ima Shor Mu'ad, anagicha revit lo mechayev. The fact that you're a short mu'ad after 3 negichot only has relevance if he gores a 4th time. But if he doesn't gore a 4th time, it has no relevance. So ha'chanami, let us say now too, ad shnan revit lo kaimer b'shutein. Same thing over here, until he completes the 4th year, it won't be in his position. Meaning that it's truthfully by a short mu'ad, you're only the short mu'ad, or the relevance of short mu'ad is only after the 4th goring. So it's over here, maybe only after the 4th year should you be able to establish a chazakah. Oh, so that's what the Gemara is going to discuss all of that. The Gemara says, how can you complain in these 2 cases? After 3 negichot, the animal is a mu'ad. It's already become a mu'ad. Right? But, v'idach, right, kilo nagach, right, ma'ilu shalim. The only reason that you need a 4th negicha is not because that's what makes him into a mu'ad. He is a mu'ad. The 4th negicha is just if he's going to, you're not chayiv to compensate, right, or to pay for the nezek that's done until there is nezek. So the fact is that the status, the chezkas ashur has changed from being a shur tam to a shur muad. But, right, the meaning or the manifestation of that is only once he now gores a fourth time. But the status has changed after the third negicha. So it's over here. Right, over here, Acha came into Achalat Lachnei, Kaimele B'Shutei. After he's eaten for the 3 years, it's in his possession, and he doesn't have to wait the fourth year. I mean, that same way that the Shur changed over after the third time, so too the Sadeh changes over after the third time. Now, by a Sadeh, it has implications right away, as opposed to a Shur, well, it only has implications if he then goes ahead and gores afterwards. Now, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, we discussed this in Baba Kama, it's a machlokas of Bayin Rava, about how you know that there are three negichot, right, that only on the fourth negicha are you a shor mu'ad min haTorah. So there, the Gemara in Baba Kama brings down that Bayin Rava argue about the source for the fourth negicha. Rashi, in the Gemara in Baba Kama, says that the machlokas between Bayin Rava is mashma'ut or doshim, mashma'ut doshim. That's just that their drushas are different, but not that there is any nafkamina between the difference in their opinion. They both agree that on the fourth negicha, that's when you're chayav, the third negicha, you're not chayav. Where they learn it from is just a technical difference between them. That's what Rashi says in Baba Kama. Tosus there in Baba Kama says that Rashi changed his mind. That Rashi didn't originally believe that. Rashi had a different opinion originally between the Machlokas of Abayin Rava, and he thought the nafkamina between Abayin Rava is, on which goring do you become a muad? According to Abaye, until you gore the fourth time, that's when you pay. I mean, the first three times, you're a shur tam. The fourth time, after the third time, you're a muad. The fourth time you gore, you pay nezek shalim. According to Rava, yes, you need 3 times to become a shur muad, but on that third time, you pay as a shur muad. And that is the nafkamina, Rashi said originally. Tosa says that was Rashi's opinion originally, that he thought the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava is whether on the third time you pay nezek shalim. Tosa says, Rashi changed his mind. You know why he changed his mind? Because of our Gemara right here. What did our Gemara just say? Our Gemara says that after the third negicha, havi mu'ad, and then only you chayav to pay on the fourth negicha. So Tosa says that our Gemara will not be a libud hilchasa. Machokas abayin rova, who do we paskin like? We paskin like Rav Rova. Rova, according to Rashi's explanation, thinks you're chayav on the third negicha. Right now, our Gemara is saying, oh, it's the fourth negicha. So if that's the case, our Gemara is not like Rav, it's not the Halacha. So because of that, Rashi changed his mind and reversed his position in the Gemara in Baba Kama. And because of that, now here's the sugya in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Tosas says it, but you look at Rashi on the daf of Baba Kama, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say what Tosas is saying. It came from here. This Tosas mentions it here also, that Rashi had this original pshat, which he changed because of this Gemara here in the Baba Basra, which says that Abayin Rav, everybody agrees that it's only after the fourth time that you're chayav. The issue is simply Mashmut Dorshim, how they darshan that from the Psukim. Right now, the Gemara continues to ask about this comparison or this parallel to Shur Muad. El Miata. Chazaka she'im imata'ana, te'avi chazaka. So as I said before when we started the Perek, right, in order to have a chazaka here, you need to have some sort of claim. Right, so let us suggest now that you don't need any claim in order to have a chazaka. Why? El Matnan. What is it? We have a Mishnah that explicitly says, Chol chazaka she'im imata'ana, eno chazaka. Right, any chazaka that has no claim with it is irrelevant. It has no meaning. So time amai, damina dilma kiti amar hashta. We're gonna say why? Maybe what he is saying now, right, is true. So Gemara says iu lo toin anan liton lei. So the Gemara asks a question here, and the answer is almost so obvious, right, that the answer of the Gemara, you start to wonder what the questioner was thinking. Right, the questioner comes along and says, look, oh, it should be just like Shur Muad. Just like by Shur Muad, you don't need any claim, it just you gore, 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 and then the fourth time, you're chayav. So the whole over here, 1, 2, 3, you count the shanim, on the fourth shana, you should have the chazakah. What do you need any taina for? So what's the answer? The answer is, the three shanim have no relevance, right, unless I make a taina, I make a claim. If I make a claim, then what happens? So this is what Rashi discusses. It's interesting, Rashi says over here, we don't know. There are two claimants here. We have one claimant saying it's my property. We have another claimant saying, no, you're lying and you never bought it from me. So now we have two parties that come to before Beis Din and we're arguing. So now, who is the burden of proof of? The burden of proof is always with Amotzi Mechaberu Alav Haraya. Right? Whoever wants to remove the property from Birshutei, from whoever who is Muchzak in the Rishut of the property, here the burden of proof is on him. So who is the burden of proof on here? That's what the answer to the Gemara is. It's simply over here, the burden of proof shifts after the 3 years. 3 years of chazakah make you the bal, quote unquote, balakarka, the muhzak in the karka. If you're muhzak in the karka, then we're going to say, maybe he's telling the truth. If maybe he's telling the truth, then the burden of proof is on the one who wants to say that he stole it and he didn't buy it. Where was he until now? Why didn't he show up? The fact that he didn't show up is evidence towards the fact that the person who's been living here for 3 years, it's really his. And if that's the case, then the burden proof shifts to him. Whereas before that point in time, the burden proof is in the one who says, I bought the property. You have to prove that you bought the property. You need a contract. You need something to show me, right, that you actually bought the property. And that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is, without a taina, right, there's nothing to speak about. Why? Because chazakah by itself, or independently, is meaningless. The fact that you live in the land, that has no relevance. When does it have relevance? If you have an argument with someone else and you say, I bought it from you, that I somehow came into possession of the land, then your chazakah can strengthen your position and shift the burden of proof to the other party. But if you never make a taina, if you never make a claim, there's no burden of proof to shift because there is no claim here. If there is no claim, then your chazakah is not a valid claim. A chazakah is only a shifting.
Can you claim on a newspaper or make a, there's no one there to claim to. I mean, like, how do you do it?
I don't know, it's a claim. The claim means that I bought it. You have to have a reason why you came into possession of this property. Just because you showed up and sit on the property doesn't mean you have ownership over the property.
For 3 years, if you don't make a claim.
No, if the other party does not object, then you can say, I didn't need to hold on to my contract.
But
I have to.
When he comes and he claims and he says, what are you doing on my property? He says, listen, I'm here for 3 years. Right. And.
Right. He must make a claim that I bought it. If he just says, I've been here for 3 years, you say, I'm sorry, but that's not your property. Just because you're here for 3 years doesn't make it yours. That's not true. In modern day law, with squatter's rights and terms of adverse possession, that you can take possession of something even though you're not supposed to be there. If you're there for a long enough period of time, then you get possession of it even without a proper claim. That's not true here in the Chazal Debatim. So now that the answer is so obvious that a chazakah is meaningless standing alone, only together with a claim does it have any meaning, meaning that it's a part of evidence in a case. It's not a claim by itself. Then what was the questioner thinking? And that's what Tosfos comes to ask. He says, what was the havamina that he thought that you could have a chazakah without a claim? Who would ever think that you could have a chazakah without a claim? So Tosfos gives two possibilities of what the havamina of the Gemara was here. Is that maybe, because we learned it from the Shor Mu'ad, that just like after three negichot, the shor becomes a chazkat nagchan, his status, the chazakah of the shor, changes, even though he has now gored the four times to become chayav, still his status has changed, then maybe we should say the same thing here, within a field. Even though, what you were suggesting, right, a little bit, Gabriel, that you're living here for 3 years without an objection, gives you a chazakah, meaning that the shem akarka now changes, you become the balakarka. Just like the shor changes into a shor muad, so too you should become the balakarka after the 3 years. That's one possibility. The other possibility, Tosa says, is maybe it's a type, the guy makes a claim like this. He says, I bought it from so-and-so. And so-and-so says he bought it from you. Now, so-and-so who says he bought it from you has, I never asked him for a contract. He never lived there for 3 years. He just said, I bought it from you. So I would have thought the havamina is that I could come with such a claim and say, listen, I bought it from so-and-so, and I've lived here for 3 years. So that's clear that it's my property. I don't have any claim. I didn't say I bought it from you. I bought it through a third party who says he bought it from you, and I had no evidence. So I would have thought that that's a good claim. The answer to the Gemara is that's not a claim. Why? Because you need a valid claim. In order, chazakah by itself is not a way to establish ownership. Chazakah is only, right, a shifting, a burden of proof. It's not evidence in and of itself. And that's the answer of the Gemara. Okay, so now, again, next question. Matikfla, Johnny, so this is what you were asking about the shore. Matikfla reviva miata mecha shalo b'fanav lo tehe mecha domia de shore muat. That if you do not object in front of the ba'alim, that it should not be classified as a shore muat, right? The requirement of a shore muat is huad b'ba'alav. That you have to actually go in front of the ba'alim and warn them that the shore is acting inappropriately, that he is wild, and that he's damaging people. So also over here, maybe it should be that in order to be a mecha, this is from the side of the objection, not from the side of the establishing the chazakah, but the side of the objection, it will not be classified as an objection unless you tell the party who owns the field that you've objected to his face. You must tell him, you do not belong here, it's not yours, you may not keep it. But we know that's not the case. We know that mecha does not have to be right in front of your face. We know that mecha can be done anywhere. He can go take two edim and say that it's my property and he has no right to be here. Samar says, right, so just like Beshur Ma'ad, we require to be in front of the Balim, so too here. It says, Hotam Vuad Bibalav Ktiv. What do you mean? By Shur Mu'ad, there's a specific pasuk, because there's a kotuv. Vuad Bibalav. Eino Chanami, you don't really need to. Meaning from a side of information flow, you would not have to go directly to the Balim. Why? Because Hocha, what's the, this is the famous line in the Gemara, right? It's found here, and we've seen it many times. Chavrach, chavra itle, v'chavra de chavrach, chavra itle. The power of rumors, right? The power of news flow. That if you have a friend, and your friend has a friend, once information gets out, it spreads. Everything spreads like wildfire. So the truth is here that a mecha'ah will work, even if you don't say it to his face, because if you tell someone, they'll tell someone, and it'll reach him. We believe in this news flow in the rumor mill, and therefore we know that the information is going to reach him. So much so that Rashi says that that he can't come and make a claim that he didn't hear about it. I mean, that it's so strong that we believe that the news is going to reach him that he can't come and claim it, I didn't hear it. The same would be true by Ashur Muad, that the news would have reached him. And we would assume that the news reaches him. When Ashur acts in this manner, the news would reach him. Why does he have to do it in front of the Balim then? That's a gzerat ha-katuv of bihuad bivalav. That you have to specifically, there's a requirement to do in front of the Balim. Nothing to do with the travel, the information travel, or the flow of information, but rather simply gzerat ha-katuv, and that doesn't apply here by chazaka. Ulere bimeir de'amar, machogaz are bimeir in the chachamim of babakama, about when the Shur Mu'ad does Nikichot, does it have to be on three separate days? Or can it be on a singular day, right? On a single day. So, as Johnny mentioned before, why do you have to have it over 3 years? And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to ask over here. Right? Damar Richak Nikichotav Chayav. If he does gores over 3 days, he's Chayav. Kirib Nikichotav Lo Koshikain? If he does it 3 times in a single day, certainly he should be a Shur Mu'ad, right? Meaning that that makes it even wilder. It's one thing if he does it every day once. Here he's doing it 3 times in a single day. Certainly, that's what Rav Meir says. He's definitely a Shur Mu'ad then. So the same thing should be here. Ocha tlat teperi b'chad yoma. It should be that if the individual eats 3 perot on a single day, kagon teina, lavi chazaka dumya de Shur Mu'ad. That should be sufficient to create a, right, chazaka of Shur Mu'ad. Now there is a machlokus in the girsa over here. The girsa that we have in our Gemara, which I'm reading now, is that it's a teina that we're talking about here. That he should eat 3 fruits on a single day, and what we're talking about is a teina. What does it mean that he's eating 3 fruits on a single day is a teina? That the teinim actually ripen, they don't ripen in a single time, they ripen over time. So a person could walk out to his field in the morning, there's a fig that's ripe, he can eat it. At that time, there were other figs on the tree that weren't ripe. Comes back 6 hours later in the afternoon, another fig is ripe, now he eats it. Comes back in the evening, another 6 hours later, and those figs that were raw in the morning and the afternoon are now, one of them's ripe and he can eat it. So he could eat 3 teinim that also all came to their, we'll call them fruition, but their, to full maturity or edible state over the day, over the 3 periods of the day. And that should be classified as just like shlosh negichot, just like 3 gorings on a single day is sufficient to create a muad. So too, the eating of 3 different teinim that came, that were ripened over the day, at different periods of the day, that should be enough to create a chazakah. And that's according to this girsa. There was another girsa in the Geonim that said the word here was tzlaf. Tzlaf is a caper bush. It's found in the Gemara Brachos, other places, which it produces its fruit very quickly. And number two, it has many edible parts. Right, the fruit, the branches, the leaves, there are many edible parts to the tzlaf. So here, that's what the some of the Rishonim say, that they're talking about a tzlaf, some of the Geonim, it's actually a girsa in the Geonim's period, that we're talking about a tzlaf over here that produces many fruits are frequently, right, has fruits, plus it has multiple fruits on its own bush. The caper bush has different edible parts, and therefore you have 3 perot in a single item. So they had that was their gius of tzlaf. We're going to see that the next case is reversed, that over here they'll say that it's teinim, and we're going to say it's tzlaf. So they switch between depending on what you say in the first case and the second case. So now, Gemara asks a great question. Gemara says, no, you have to be like Shur Mu'ad. That none of the gorings happen simultaneously. That at the time that he gores the first time, or when the second goring is not around. The second goring only takes place or transpires after the completion of the first goring. And the same thing with the third goring. The third goring only happens after the completion of the second goring. So if that's the case, right, there each one stands independently and did not exist at the same time as the other one. Hachanami. They only work if the fruits that you picked on the first time, and then you come to pick the fruits the second time, those second fruits didn't exist when the first fruits were there. So the case of Teinim, where it's ripening over the day, the fruit that ripened by the afternoon was there in the morning. When you picked the first fruit in the morning, the other fruit was there. It may not have been ripe, but it was there. And that's not the case. We want to have three separate harvests. Three separate harvests mean that they don't touch each other. They never overlap in their, just like the negichot don't overlap, so do the harvests here should not overlap.
They're not right. Why should they be considered to be proper harvest?
But it's not a proper harvest. They won't harvest them until they are ripe. But the problem is that the fruit exists. It's there. It's present when you're picking the first fruit. As opposed to negichot, when you have the first negicha, the second negicha is never there. They don't overlap. There's no connection between them. So we can't have it where you pick a fruit and it somehow overlapped with the first fruit because it was there. It was in existence with the first fruit. The Gemara is going to ask a question similar to Jenny, what you're asking now, which is, achla tzlate pere, right? Here, our gear says going to be v'chad yome. If you had three fruits on the same day, kigon slaf. Now here we're going to talk about a caper bush. What's special about the caper bush? That the fruits produce very fast, quickly. They turn over very quickly. Man, you could pick a fruit today, bush will be empty. 3 days later, you come back and there's a whole bunch of fruit on it. I mean that you could have non-existing fruit. 3 days later, there's a whole fruit on there. So that'll overcome our problem. Now you have a bush or a situation where you can have fruit that comes on within 3 days. There are totally new fruits on the bush. If that's the case, then you could create a chazakah over a number of days where you could eat three different harvests because none of the fruits existed. Today I ate, 3 days later I ate fruits that weren't there, and 3 days later I ate fruits again. Now I've had three quote-unquote harvests of fruits that never overlapped. So it says, Lari chazakah. So it says, Hatam peira mi ha'ite. Migmar hu deka gamer v'azil. It's very interesting. The caper bush, the fruits exist. They're always there. They just take time to come out. They're always there in a... Right, they've begun their growth, but they just don't emerge. They don't aren't visibly available to you until a couple of days later. So when you pick them today, 3 days later, even though you're picking fruits which seemingly weren't there 3 days ago, they really were there. Their potential, and they were right waiting to emerge, and that's enough to be classified as pirot. Again, the others, girsa, then has to flip, and they said that. And the second question in the case, the first case with slaf, which has three different pirot, then the second question over here was about te'inim. Right, why not say by three te'inim? So fine, the te'inim, where you could spread it out over three parts of the day, and they're ripening at totally different periods of time, right, then you can, right, why can't you call that harvest? And the answer of the Gemara is that the peirot's already there. The figs were there all along, and therefore it's not peirot. And thus it says that the questioning of the Gemara doesn't flow so well, because the second question seems to, right, be almost redundant to the first question if you have te'inim as second. Now,
it's a kasha about from Rabbi Eliezer. You said that if you do it, well, you can do it in 1 year, but if you have it in 1 year, it's grown at the same time that you have it.
But the Gemara is actually going to ask, which you're suggesting, that maybe there is a case, even with the same type of crop, you could have three in a single year. And what's that? That's the case the Gemara is going to talk about right now. So Gemara says, Achat Tlat Pere, B'Tlat Yom. So what happens if a person eats three harvests over 30 days? Kagon, what's the case here? Asafstata. Lavi chazaka. Asafstata is some sort of grass that grows, a hay or a grass. What?
Aspasta.
Thank you. That grows, that is some sort of feed for animals that's picked or can be harvested or mowed down every 30 days. So this individual, instead of waiting for the 30 days, every 10 days he cuts it down. And he feeds it to the animals. It's useful to him every 10 days. So he harvests every 10 days. He's got three harvests in the period of 30 days. Where it says, Eichidami. The kadiach v'achla, kadiach v'achla. So he says, it grows a little bit. He cuts it down. Grows a little bit. He cuts it down. He mows his grass so frequently that he gets enough hay or whatever this is, asafsata, whatever this is. He is able to get three sets of value or food out of it over a 30-day period. He is stunting the growth of the item. You can't classify that as a harvest. A harvest is when the fruit reaches its maturity, and then you harvest it. All this individual is doing is cutting down a growth or an item before it's reached its maturity. That you can't classify as a harvest. You can't classify something being cut prematurely as being a harvest. So Tosus discusses that, but in the Mishnah, Tosus discusses this issue of when is something established a chazakah and when is something not established a chazakah. And some of the items that Tosus discusses in the Mishnah are, first of all, it has to be something, you have to be acting in a manner that is detrimental to the balim or something that they're using a loss. So what happens if you go into someone's field and you plow it? So you know what the individual says? You go into his field and you're plowing it, he says, you know what? You know why I didn't object? Why didn't I object? You're working for me. You're doing it. It's my benefit. You plowed a field. I'll plant it later. I don't mind. You want to plow my field? You know, go ahead. So that's not going to establish a chazakah because there's no reason for him to object. So same thing here, if a person's acting in a way or in a manner that does not indicate that he's, you know, taking over a long period of time, he's taking items, then we say that's not a chazakah, and this is one of those examples where cutting it prematurely is not establishing a chazakah. So Mar says, okay, what about achla tlata pere betlata yarche? I can solve the problem. Over 3 months, you can have this asafsita. This asafsita grows every 30 days and reaches maturity every 30 days. That means within 3 months, I could have come up with three harvests. After the first month, I cut down the mature, right, asafsita, second month, and then third month, and they've reached full maturity. Now I've had three harvests in 3 months. Kagon, right, asafsita, like Arkes was after, the have a chazaka. That should be a chazaka. So the Gemara is stuck now, because you really can come up with a chazaka over 3 months instead of 3 years. So how can you say the source for 3 years is Shor Muad? If the source from Shemurah is going to teach us that you can do it over 3 months. So where it says, Man Hochei Usha. Who is the opinion of Hochei Usha? We said that Hochei Usha learned out the 3 year chazakah from Shor Muad. Who is that? Rabbi Shmuel. It's Rabbi Shmuel. Oh, the Rabbi Shmuel Hochanami. And Hochanami, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can have a chazakah that is less than 3 years. Why? That's none. That's our Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Right, that's only in a case where it's a field of grains. Aval b'stei ilan, when it comes to an orchard, when it comes to vines, kaneset tvuato, he takes in the grapes. Umesiket zeitaf, takes in the olives. Kaneset kaitso, brings in the figs. Harielu gimu shanim, that is 3 years. Even though he's not literally waiting 3 years, all it is requires three harvests, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So Hochei Usha, if we say it's Rabbi Shmuel's that opinion, Rabbi Shmuel is teaching us, we learn from Shor Muad three. Not 3 years, we learn three harvests. And three harvests will depend on what you're harvesting. But you can harvest, if you're harvesting a safsata, 3 months. You're harvesting, you know, in a stelavan, 3 years. You're harvesting grapes, olives, and then figs. Over a single year, you can come across these three harvests. So it all depends on the situation, the crop. But you need three of a harvest. And three of a harvest can expand, you know, as little as 3 months and as much as 3 years. Now the Gemara says, okay, that solves the problem for Rabbi Shmuel. Now we know Rabbi Shmuel's source for Shloshanim or Chazakah. What about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, right, in the Mishnah, where do they learn out that the 3 years of Chazakah? So that the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, right, when it comes to the... case over here, Gimel Shanim and Rabbanan Mai, Amar Rav Yosef, Kroktiv. It learns out from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we've seen before, Gemara in Kiddushin, for Kinyonim, that Kinyon Kesef works, right? Or the Gemara attempted to use it as Kinyon Kesef work. It says, Sadot, Bakesef Yiknu, Vechatov Basefer Vechatom. You should buy fields with money, right? They will buy fields with money, Vechatov, and they will sign them, they will document it, and they'll keep it. Because, right, this is the promise, almost the hope that Yirmiyahu says, that you should buy, in the end, people will return to the land of Israel, and they will again, right, be buying real estate in the land of Israel. So what do you see here? When is Yirmiyahu speaking? Yirmiyahu speaking, Hashem Yovei Be'eser, standing in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, Umazhir Al-Chadisre, and he's warning about the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, because the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, right, that's when he is, right, sent into Galus Tzidkiyahu, right, is in the 11th year. So now, here is Yirmiyahu talking in the 10th year of the rule of Tzidkiyahu. And what is he saying to them? He's saying to them, listen, you got to write a contract. You got to have contracts to evidence that you bought these fields. Why? Why do you need contracts to evidence that you bought these fields? Because it's the 10th year. It's going to be the 11th year. And then we're going to get kicked out of here. We're not going to be here anymore. How many years of a chazakah did you have? Two. Since you only had 2 years of chazakah, you still need the contract. Had it been 3 years, had you reached 3 years, then you wouldn't have needed the contract. Why is Yirmiyahu telling him to write a contract? Because he's telling them you're not going to get to the 3 years of chazakah. That's the way Rashi learns. I'll come back and we'll discuss the Tosfos and the Gersh and some of the other Gaonim, how they learn. Now, Gemara says, I'm Rabbi, why is that evidence? Dilma Hatam eats a Tova Kamashvalin. He's giving them good advice. He's telling them, listen, we're going into exile. Who knows if the Edom are going to be killed, right, in this exile? There's going to be, right, destruction. There's going to be thrown out of here. You think anybody, you're going to really be able to find the Edom to come and say that you really own this land? Good idea. Hold on to the contract. That's a way, when you come back, you'll be able to have evidence in your hand and can show that you really own the land over here. That he's giving good advice. How do we know this? If you don't say such, right, then what are you going to say about Yirmiyahu's statement? This is, now it's interesting, the Gemara is quoting from different prokim here. Here, Yirmiyahu is talking about to the people in Bavel, saying to the people, "Bnu batim, build houses, ushvu, and live there, b'shevu." It's actually b'shevu, and live there. Right? V'nit'u ganot, plant gardens, v'ichlu, and eat at piryam, eichlu at piryam, eat their fruits, eat their produce. I mean that Yirmiyahu says, listen, you're not coming back so fast. Right? There's going to be 70 years of Galus Bavel, and you're going to stay there. Let me give you some advice. You know what the advice is? Build houses, settle down. Right? You have time. You can live there. Take your time. Set up house. Set up shop. And you know what the Navi continues over there? That you should daven for the Malchus. Right? That's the Makor for davening, even for a foreign Malchus, for the welfare or the welfare of the Malchus. That's what Yirmiyahu says them to do. So it's clear that he's giving them advice. He's telling them what to do. Right? Hachanami, Eitzatovak Mashmalan. He's giving them good advice. Just like he's telling the people in Mavel advice about that they should settle down. He's telling the people leaving Eretz Yisrael good advice. Take your contracts with you because that'll be easier for you later on. Teda Dichtiv, because it says there in the Perek, right? The Lamed Bet, it happens to be from right after the Perek that we read from the Haftorah on the second day, on Rosh Hashanah. Second day of Rosh Hashanah is Haftorah is from here in Yirmiyahu, right before this. Yirmiyahu says, V'natatem B'kli Chores, you should put the contract into a earthenware vessel. The man yandu yamim rabim, so that they should last for a long time. Why is he telling them that he should put it in a kli cheres? Why is he telling them that? He's telling them, let me give you some advice. You know, if you have to hold on to a contract for 70 years, you know what you do? You put it in a kli cheres, and that's how you're going to be shomer the contract over that period of time. Now, the Geonim, the Rach, and others had a girsa here, that the 10th was actually not the 10th year, that Yirmiyahu was actually standing in the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign. And that's why Yirmiyahu over here is saying to them, you can buy, right, and sign on these contracts, because after 3 years, you're going to be here for 3 years. You're going to be here for the 9th, 10th, and 11th year. And that, with that chazakah, you will no longer need, right, a contract. That will be, the chazakah shloshanim will help you afterwards. Sign your contracts now. You'll have 3 years of chazakah, and it'll be good. It's very hard to read into the Navi. Go read the Navi. It doesn't seem that way. And it seems that he had a girsa mishubash, even in the Seder Olam, that gave him this idea that it was in the 9th year, not in the 10th year of Tzidkiyo. Now, there's a combination of this a little bit in the Rabbeinu Gershom, who gives the last interpretation that will end, which is that he says to them, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he has Yirmiyahu Omeid B'teisha Shanim L'Tzidkiyahu. He's in the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu, which is the same as Rabbeinu Chananel, right? But as opposed to Rabbeinu Chananel, says that they established 3 years, K'nufrash B'seif Yirmiyahu, U'mazir L'Yud Aleph Shana B'tchilata. He's warning about the 11th year when it's going to be destroyed in the beginning of the year, Shelchu B'galut. In the 9th year, he's warning them, you're not going to last for 3 years here, and therefore you won't have a chazakah. So now, what he's saying is, right, that he's using the Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat, that it's really in the 9th year, but he's telling them you're not going to get a full 3 years like the pshat that Rashi gives. Rashi says, oh, you're not going to get 3 years, that's why you should write the sefer down. Rabbeinu Chananel says, you're going to get 3 years, that's why sign your contracts now, and then you won't have to worry, because you have 3 years of chazakah, and everything will be fine. Right, here he's taking a combination of both. He learns like the Rabbeinu Chananel that it's in the 9th year, but he says you're not going to get all the way through the 3rd year, because you're going to be put in golus in the beginning of the 11th year, and you won't complete the chazakah. And so because of that, you need to sign and keep the contracts in order to protect your rights when you get back. So it's a mix of both of them. But again, the girsa of being in the 9th year is very difficult, because it explicitly says Esther in the Navi, in Yirmiyahu, although again, the Rabbeinu Chananel reads that as Bishodesh Asiri, in the 10th month, as opposed to the 10th year. Again, it does not read simply, if you look in the Perek in Yirmiyahu, it does not read simply over there. Okay, we'll stop over here.